Excellent. Thank you, Crystal. You get a double dose of them hardcore playing today. Very good. Excited to have everyone with us today. If you have a bulletin, go ahead and get your bulletin out. Let's take a look at a couple things. Number one is you'll see in the plates as they come around, maybe you've seen them in the back, you'll see that Lottie Moon is now joining us now. This is a international missions, and so you'll see these envelopes in the plates as they come around. We discussed it some last week. I would encourage you to pray and to see what the Lord, how the Lord leads you in partnering along with this ministry effort. It's a vital ministry effort. It reaches people throughout the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many men and women have come to know the Lord through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So pray about that. See what God would have you do with that. We're not going to go on every announcement today. I'm going to skip around a little bit just because some of these are repeats of some other things. One that's new this week, you'll see there, nursery parents, so you know who you are. If you would like your child to be part of the nativity scene, maybe they can be a goat or something, I don't know. I'm just joking. I'm sure there'll be something a lot nicer than a goat. No offense, Thomas, but I'm sure they'll be nicer than a goat. December 13th, oh, sorry, I skipped right there. December 14th, have them here at 7 o'clock for rehearsal, and we'll figure out something for them to do. So if you ever have a child in the nursery and want to be in the play, you see it right there, the date and the time. Also, you can talk to Renee. She can answer any of those questions for you, right? Big night tonight. We're not going to be having evening services here at Dallasburg, so if you show up here at 6, it's just going to be you and the Lord tonight. The rest of us are going to be Christmas caroling at Eagle Creek Resort. Several people, Brad, Cresha, Raphael, and Ruby, several other people, they got a Christmas float together. We were in the parade last night. I think Andrew got an injury for somebody's candy thrown. Lori, I'm looking at you. But we have a float. We're going to use the float since so much work and effort went into it. We're going to use it again tonight. We're going to Eagle Creek, and we're going to sing Christmas carols. And we're going to go around. You see there to be at the White Building at 415 in Eagle Creek Resort if you want to be part of that. I'll say this, if you're worried about, like, well, man, can I get up on that? Brad has worked that out for you. He has a ladder to help get you on and off the trailer. So Brad has thought of every contingency. So if you want to do that, come and join with us tonight. It's a great time. Meeting the needs is going to be this Tuesday from 9 to noon, from 6 to 8. If you'd like to serve, that would be great. Also, you see there, and hopefully you're in prayer. I'm sure most of you have probably heard about this already, but Miss Carolyn lost her sister. And so there's going to be a graveside service this Thursday, and then the church is going to host a meal after the graveside service here, probably around 2:30, 3-ish. Right, and so the church is going to provide the meat, but if you would like to serve this family, if you would like to make a side, get it here before 2:30 on Thursday, that would be greatly appreciated. We'll have the church open, the warmer will be set up, we'll figure it out. Also, if anyone is willing and would like to help serve that, let me know. I'll get you plugged in and we'll get that done, all right? You also see there the Christmas play. December 18th, that's not new, you've known that, but I think this might be the first time we're mentioning this, is that after the Christmas play, the social committee is going to prepare drinks, so the drinks will be prepared by the church, but then the desserts are going to be prepared by you. And so we'll have a lot of people here that probably don't spend a lot of time gathering with the church, and so feeding them is always a good idea. And so make your best dessert. I'll test it out if you're curious if it's good or not. I'll let you know. All right, so let me know. All right, I think everything else there you can read. I wanted to read this. This was a note, and I was so excited to get this. I got a phone call about it, and then reading it was super nice. This is a note from Joyce Duvall. Dearest church family, your gifts, food, and cards of encouragement have meant so much, but most of all, your prayers have gotten us this far. We thank you with much love. God is good. David, Joyce, and the family. It's just a true testament to what prayer can do. It's true testament to what a church can do as they pray for an individual. And we're just so thankful what God has done in Joyce's life and her whole family's life. So continue to pray for her. Continue to lift her up in your prayers. But I've shared this with, I think, Wednesday night crowd. I would share this, and in the times that I've visited Joyce, whether it be in the hospital or at home, the first thing she asks is about you all. She doesn't ask about her. She doesn't talk about herself. She wants to know how so-and-so's doing, how so-and-so's feeling. Just a true testament of someone who loves and cares, and it's always good for us to be able to love and care on those people. So just continue to pray for them. I'm very thankful for that. We come this morning. We have a couple special things happening this morning. The first one is we're going to have a baby dedication. So if you guys want to come on up and bring Emery with you, the long, quiet walk as they make their way up. You know, one of the things that's important for us, number one, is just the amazing blessing baby dedications are. One of the things that's very important for us to remember and to be thankful for as a church is when new people come into the church. Look at that dress. You guys come on up here. Everybody wants to, trust me, they would rather see you than me. So I understand that. But just so thankful. Oh, so cute. So thankful we are for this. And, you know, something that when we have a baby dedication, she don't like the pacifier. What we do in a baby dedication, it's important for us to understand, is that this does not instill any righteousness, or this does not instill the salvation upon Emery. The Lord knows that. The Lord will work that out. But what this is for us is this is not only a commitment from her parents and her grandparents, but it's a commitment to us as a church family to come alongside of Logan and Megan and to help guide Emery in her walk and her knowledge of the Lord. And so really, this is really a ceremony. Sorry, you guys can't see over there. I take up a lot of room. I'm sorry, Renee. It's really something that we're committing to. And so it's a wonderful time we do this. Just what a blessing it is to have children in our church. What an opportunity it will be at some point. I'm sure Emery will be running, and an opportunity for you all to help discipline and correct and say, hey, maybe we can slow down a little bit here. It's just a wonderful opportunity for us to come together as a family, right? So what I want to do now, did you guys want to say anything?
No.
No pressure, right? So what we're going to do now is I'm going to pray. But what I ask for you all to do is moving forward, write the Duvalls down, pray for them. If you've walked this path of a new child, you know what this season is like. You know how difficult it can be, but you see the commitment. They're here with us in fellowship this morning. They're here gathering with us. They have their children here. You know, one of the things I share, people, bringing your child to church does not ensure salvation. It just doesn't, but it greatly increases the odds. And this is where she should be. She should be here with us. She should be here where we can speak truth into her life, and we want to pray for her and her parents. Right? So that's what we're going to do right now, and I encourage you to continue to pray for them in the future. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for this sweet child. We thank you for Logan and Megan, and as they're coming this morning and committing to raising her in a home that fears the Lord, focuses on the Lord, and wants to serve the Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we also thank you for the opportunity you give us as a church to also be involved in Emery's life, to be there for her, to pray for her, to help discipline her, to help show her the way of the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this. Lord, we understand as a church that anytime we hear a young person cry or make a noise, just that's a blessing. That's a blessing for a church to hear that, as we understand and we know that another generation is hearing the truths of Scripture. So, Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for this opportunity, Lord. We pray that for your protection upon this family. We pray for patience. We pray for strength. We pray for energy as they are raising two young children, Lord. And we just pray that most importantly, they continue to invest in their lives by teaching them the ways of you. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Amen. God bless. Absolutely. Very, always exciting. I'll also say this, if anybody else got any babies maybe I don't know about, all you got to do is come tell me and we'll do this. Right, it's an important thing. It's a very biblical thing, and it's a blessed thing that we as a church get to participate in that. right? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're also participating in another wonderful thing this morning is Advent. As we'll have the whole family come up. Simon, when you all finish, when you close in prayer, we'll just jump right into worship. All right. Hey, whoa, don't be reaching for my headphone. Don't mess up me.
Candle is traditionally called the shepherd candle. The shepherds sat on a quiet hilltop watching their sheep by night. They were common people like you and me. The angels announced the good news of Jesus' birth to them in the midst of their work. They responded with wonder, curiosity, and faith as they sought the Savior whom the angels proclaimed. The shepherds were the faithful people of God who sought their Savior from the baby Jesus.
Luke 2:15-20 says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them within in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, and we're so thankful for this season that we're in right now, Lord. Because if it wasn't for Christmas, all the things that we believe in would not be here, Lord. I'm just so thankful for that. I pray that we're obedient like Mary, and we are faithful like the shepherds, Lord, and trusting in you and following you and just proclaiming your word. And I just pray that as we get closer to Christmas time, Lord, I just pray that we put aside all the hustle and bustle that the world puts upon our shoulders, Lord. And I pray that we keep this season centered upon you, Lord. Be with us as we start our worship to you, and may it be fulfilling you. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand, and as we just read, that these shepherds heard the message and they went and worshiped, I also invite you, oh come all ye faithful, come, let us adore him. Oh, And let us continue worshiping, and let us sing the same song that the angels sung. Christmas spirit, we remember that the Lord came and was born as a baby in Bethlehem so that one day he could die for our sins and ascend to heaven so that when we die, we can all fly away. Let us sing.
I'll fly away, oh glory.
can sing that because we have victory in Jesus. Let us sing.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we live in a broken world. We see it all around us. Some of us have pain in our hearts this morning of loss of loved ones. Some of us are, our health is struggling. Our finances are struggling. We feel like the world's crazy. But in all this, Lord, we hear your word. It says better to trust in you, to take refuge in you than anything, any government, any person, any man. Any ideas, it's better to take refuge in you because you're the one that created us. You're the one that offers us salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that this offering brings you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our kids need no reminder of Children's Church. They're gone. They're ready to get out of here. I wanted to take a little bit of time this morning just to remind everyone about our challenge of copying Scripture. It's just the days of the week. This is out there. You can pick that up. I was going to share another story about this. Last week, in our home, there was some intense fellowship between Melissa and Molly that morning. And so Melissa had children's church last week, and Molly's like, well, I don't want to be around her any more than I have to be. So she stayed in corporate worship last week. And I was like, okay, that's fine, you know, sure. So afterwards, I was like, Molly, what'd you think about the sermon? She goes, oh, I didn't listen to it at all. I was like, well, number one, thank you for your honesty. Number two, why? She goes, well, I was doing Rita's challenge. She goes, I was working on these days of the week. So, Rita, Molly is working on the days of the week. She's copying them. She's doing them. She's not listening to any sermons, but, you know. Hey, she needs some sanctification just like the rest of us. We're working on it. We're working on it together, right? We gather here this morning. I need no reminder that we are getting close to Christmas. I can hear it in your singing. I can see it in your attitudes. Everyone is excited about this time of the year. And so I'm so thankful for that. I think that's right. I think it's very biblical. And it's very good for us to be that way. But inside of that, I think we also need to remain intentional about what the season is truly about. Right? We had an opportunity last night to go to a parade. I was very nervous because Simon was driving a truck. And I was like, I'm glad I'm not on that wagon. But I had faith in Brad. We had a float, and it was a Christian message. And so we're taking opportunities inside of this season to remind people what this is about. I pray that you're also doing that as you're writing verses. I pray that you're doing that as you're studying Scripture. And I pray that you are being intentional and reminding yourself what we are celebrating, right? What we are celebrating, you've heard it prayed a couple times this morning already. What we are celebrating is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating in this season. We continue today with our Advent, you know, Advent being Latin for waiting, as we're waiting on the birth of Christ, right? Today is what Simon had read for you, is known as the shepherd's candle, the joy candle. And so what we're going to be talking about today is the joy that we experience in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right, if you have your Bibles there with you, if you don't, Steve will have it on the screen for you there. But be turning to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20. I kind of promised last week we'd get out of Luke, and we didn't get out of Luke. So we're not out of Luke, we're still in Luke. I'm going to read, this is a big chunk of scripture for us, but I think we need all of it. I think it's useful. God's word says this to us. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for our wonderful time of praise. Lord, I thank you for our musicians as they've prepared our hearts to receive this message. Lord, I thank you for the truths that we've sang this morning in our songs. Lord, just a great reminder to ourselves. Lord, I'm so thankful for this season. I'm so thankful for the love that you had shown to us by sending Christ to be born. Just an amazing testament of your love. Lord, I just pray that for myself and for my family and for my church family, that we remain intentional, that we remain focused upon you. We do not let Satan steal our joy of this season. We do not let commercialism take away what this season truly is about, and it's 100% about you. So, Lord, continue to impress upon us the importance of this season, why it matters, and the multitude of opportunities this season presents to share the gospel. I'm not sure there's a time of the year that's better prepared or more suited for the gospel to be shared with others. And Lord, I just pray for boldness for each and every one of us here today, that out of a loving heart that we share the gospel, we preach the good news of what this season represents. And Lord, we pray that through that seed being planted, many will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. So, one of the things that I guess Facebook or Instagram or one of your social media applications has taken over this reality, but used to be, if you were from a wealthy family and you were having a baby born into your family, you hired a herald, right? Thank the song we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, right? And so the job of the herald was to go out into the town square and to, with a loud projecting voice, let everyone know a baby was being born, right? This was for wealthy people. God did this also with the angels. But the thing that in the original reading of this and the original understanding of the birth narrative of Jesus Christ, it would have made no sense to the original hearers, right? I think you and I also would probably think that, well, why didn't the angels go to one of the kings at the time? Or why didn't it go to a Roman, you know, counselor? Or why didn't it go to someone that had this massive amount of authority? But what Scripture tells us, plain and simple, is that the herald, the angel who was announcing the birth of Christ, went to shepherds. And now you and I, we've grown up with nativity scenes. You know, I'm sure, I think Melissa and I counted, I think we still got like 12 nativity scenes in our house. I'm like, I think we're good on nativity scenes for a while, right? We've all grown up with these nativity scenes, with seeing shepherds there, and it's normal to us. It's normal to, like, yeah, we know the story. It went to the angel went to the shepherds, and that's how it worked. But the reality is, this would have been the absolute last people a herald would have sent anyone to, would have been shepherds, right? And what I want to talk about this morning is I want to make a connection between ourselves and shepherds, and how it's amazing God's love is so pure and so direct that even you and I get to be in the fellowship with the uncreated creator of the universe. It would have blown the shepherds' minds that the angel came to them. And there's a historical reason for that, and we'll go through that here right now. And that's this, is shepherds were the lowliest of the low in society. You could not get any lower than a shepherd. If you look in Scripture, if you had to have a shepherd in your family, and no father wanted any shepherds in his family, but if there had to be a shepherd in your family, you always gave it to the youngest son. Right? Because there was a hierarchy. If you've read much time in the Old Testament, right, there was a hierarchy. The kid that was born first, he's the favorite. And as it goes down from there, they become least and least favorite as they work their way down. And so they would have given that job to the last son because he was the least important to the family. There's a couple reasons for this. Number one is that shepherds, they smelled like sheep. Right? They just practically speaking, if you've ever spent much time around livestock and come in and your mom or your dad were like, hey, dude, you smell like fill in the blank, whatever livestock, you need to go take a bath. Shepherds were like that all the time. You know, they were the outcast of society. They were just treated as the lowliest of low. And the result of that is they were very distant from God. Right? They weren't able to participate in ceremonies at the temple. They weren't able to spend time around other Jewish people because of their status. So not only were they outcast because of their profession, but they were also spiritual outcast because as shepherds, they were not able to participate in the Sabbath. And so the Sabbath wasn't a thing for them. Anyone here who has ever owned livestock or worked with livestock, you do not get a day off, right? There's not a day where the animal's like, hey, you guys take a break. We got this today. You go and do your thing. That's not the way it works. And so shepherds had to spend 24/7, almost 365 days a year with their flocks. And so because of that, they were seen as ceremonially unclean. Now, that has a massive effect on their daily lives. You know, we'll talk about it here in a minute, you know, about how many laws and rules the Pharisees had invented. Depending on what scholars you want to listen to, somewhere between 400 and 800. I usually fall around 600 based on the studies that I do. So they had 600 laws that you had to follow. And one of the big ones was like, if you touch someone who's ceremonially unclean, guess what? You become unclean. And then you can't participate at the temple. You can't give offerings. You can't ask for forgiveness for your sins, right? You can't do what everyone else is doing. So not only did they smell, but no one even wanted to be within touch of them because they didn't want to be seen as unclean either. So the shepherds were the outcasts of the outcasts. In one of my studies that I came across, and this probably speaks loudest to any of them, shepherds were so untrustworthy that in a legal court system, they could not give testimony, right? Because everyone just assumed they lied about everything. Right? So if you saw a violent act happen and there was just one witness and it had to be a shepherd, you're out of luck because he can't even show up in the courtroom. Because number one, he's ceremonially unclean. No one wants to be around him. Number two, he's so untrustworthy that no one trusts him. So it is mind-blowing that this is who the angel came to tell about Jesus being born, were the shepherds. I think there's a reason for that. I think there's a reason that's relevant to you and I as well. I think this time of season, it just happened the other day at our house. We had the David open house. Melissa's not out here. If she was out here, I would say the same thing. She's making sure your kids stay alive in the nursery right now. Worked really hard, 3 or 4 days. You could see yourselves in the floor. I'd be like, I didn't know the floor was that color. I didn't know it was that clean, right? We put on this fake facade for people. Right? We come to church. Some of us, you know, we act like, you know, everything's going great when the truth is we know it's not. We're not transparent. And what happens with our lack of transparency, that projects something onto other people. They're like, well, man, that person has their life completely together. If you came to our house yesterday, you think our house is the cleanest house in this county. I'm going to tell you something, it's not. It is not the cleanest. I told Melissa jokingly, I was like, oh, so I guess we're going to act like our house is not lived in for these 4 hours, right? We had to put stuff up in special places. I was like, I didn't even know we had that cup. We got that cup out. And so we're trying to project something that's not reality. And I think this is massive for this time of year as well. People dressed up real Christmas. Some of you all already have it. You got the festive clothes on, very Christmassy. There's nothing wrong with having clothes. Nice. I want you to have clothes on. Let me tell you that right now. But there's nothing wrong, Andrew especially. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with wanting to put nice clothes on. But we have to understand, why are we doing that? Are we trying to project something like, look, my house is perfect. My kids' hairs are perfectly combed. The majority of days, we can't even find a brush in our home. Not that it's a problem for me, but it's a problem for the kids, right? And so the shepherds, they had a problem with the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees were always projecting this idea that they had it all under control and that everything was perfect for them and they didn't struggle with things. And that was a real problem. It was such a problem. Christ spoke directly to it. And I think that it's easy for us to have this bit of scripture read to us or for you to read it at home yourselves, and you don't get the impact of this. This is Christ being very heavy-handed. He is very upset with this. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 through 28. Woe to you. Anything that starts off with woe is a big deal. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Exclamation point. Strong. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. What is Christ talking about? It's the same issue we struggle with today. This season is not about a religion. This season is about a relationship. And it's the relationship that we have with Christ. Man, I do not care, and God obviously does not care when Jesus is saying this there. He doesn't care about all of these 600 made-up rules. You can't do this, you can't do that. The craziest one I've ever encountered is that you couldn't let a shadow of an unclean person touch you because now the shadow made you unclean. So now I got to be worried about people's shadows. It's just made up stuff. It's just religion. It's a way to control and conform people into images that you want them to be. But the truth is, we are called to be conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came to free us from all of these burdens, of all of these extra rules that people have made up. And so it's so easy to read this, think like, man, those Pharisees were crazy. They had all these rules. They were crazy. You don't think we do the same thing today? We do the same thing too. We make up rules. We say you can't do this, we can't do that. The bulletin has to look like this. We can't add that in the bulletin. We got to use this font. I'm making that up. No one's ever told me that. But, you know, you see that's an example. Chris was like, really? Somebody said that? No, no one said that about the font. But you could see how this could manifest into one thing. And I guess I should add a little caveat there is there's not necessarily anything sinful with tradition. If your church does, like the Advent candle, that's not biblical. You can't find that in the Bible. Good luck trying to find it. It's not in there. But tradition, we do that here. It's not wrong. It becomes wrong if we say you have to do it right to have salvation with Christ. You've added a burden onto someone that is not needed. And so many times we do it with our actions. I tell people all the time, if there is something that I want to be my hallmark as your pastor here, is number one, that the love of Christ is shared. That's number one. Number two, I want it to be transparency. I want people to be honest with one another. I want Sunday school classes to exist where people can share and be like, hey, man, I'm struggling with this. I want to be honest about this, and so we can speak to one another. I want people to be able to come to me and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, and so we can have that conversation. Because the truth is this, we are all either struggling with something or have struggled with something. So in your Sunday school class this morning, I forget the question. I tried to look it up in Ford's book. He gave it to me, and I didn't get it because I'm too slow. One of the questions was, what is one of the condemnations that is said to Christians today? And mine was exactly, probably because I've been studying this all week, is that we're always called hypocrites as Christians. There's a real simple way for us to stop being called hypocrites. Stop being one. Stop doing it. Stop acting like everything's perfect in your life, because it's not. Stop acting like, you know, nothing ever goes wrong in your life. You know, I think this is for sure been made a bigger issue because of social media. Because what do people post? The best examples. Look how cute my kids are. But like, I've seen your kids. They ain't that cute, right? I'm not talking about anybody here. Talk about my kids, right? You take 50 pictures to get the one picture that looks right, and that's the one that gets posted. You don't post the other 49 where they're trying to choke each other. If you came to our house yesterday, I think Jennifer commented on this. We had a cat kept running in the house. Nobody posted that picture of Molly wrestling a cat to get him out. Right? We post a picture of everyone standing there looking pretty. So we have this tendency to want to project this ideal situation, but we got to stop. We got to stop being dishonest with people. That's what a hypocrite is. It's someone who's being dishonest. Because guess what? As much as that person needs the Savior, so do you. So stop puffing yourself up. And I think, and when we get to glory, we'll be able to talk about this, because Scripture doesn't say this directly to us. I think this is why the herald was sent to the shepherds. Because if Jesus is for the shepherds, guess who he's for? Everyone. So if he's for them, he's for all of us. And we need to understand that. I think this time of year, I think we have to be sensitive to this. I'm always trying to be sensitive to it and always trying to encourage others to be sensitive to it, is that this season is as joyful and cheerful as for everyone as it is others, right? Now, it doesn't have to be this is the first year of someone you love is gone. It could be the 50th year that person is gone. And this season is a reminder of that. But the truth is this, is that Christ is there to comfort and heal everyone. And he has done that. And all we have to do is to have faith in what Christ accomplished on the cross, and he is our comforter. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. This was a huge, I wouldn't say the main objective of Paul's missionary studies, but a very important one, is Paul was working against this hard. Remember, Paul said he was what? The Pharisee of Pharisees. No one was a better Pharisee than Paul. He worked really hard at it. I tell you all the time, Paul is the scholar of the New Testament. He's next level. He fought against this whole hypocrisy constantly. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Steve is on. He's got it. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The truth is this, it's not about rules. It's about a relationship with Christ. Now, when we have this conversation, I think you have to put an asterisk. Well, then why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Why does God tell us and warn us of things in Scripture and tells us, well, this is safe for you to do and this is unsafe for you to do? I think there's a very clear reason of that. The main reason is the law reminds you of your sinfulness, but then it also reminds you of your need of a Savior. That's what that's the purpose of the Ten Commandments, to point to you like, I can't speak for you all, but I'll speak for me. I can't keep one of them right. More or less 10. Can you imagine how the shepherds felt when there were 600? I assume they were written down somewhere. When there were 600 rules, I wouldn't even be able to know what all 600 were. That's why you had these scribes that were experts in the law. All they did was walk around and say, hey, you're doing that wrong. That was wrong. Some of you may have worked with that person. You know, they read the procedures at work. They know what you're supposed to do and you're not supposed to do. And the second you step one inch out, they're like, oh, that's wrong. Tattletales. That's wrong. That's who the Pharisees were. They loved to tattle on people and to tell on people. And so you can imagine what the shepherds felt like. Church, let me tell you this right now. What matters to you is not the religion, it's the relationship you have with Christ. And if you're here this morning and you hear me talking, you're like, man, can't we just do more singing? Why is this guy talking? Let me tell you this. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, we can fix that today. We can have a conversation about that today. The truth is this, is that the beginning of the Christmas season is the birth of your Lord and Savior. Christ then spent 30 to 34 years, depending on where you fall on that debate, of living a life that was righteous and perfect. What that means, he never made a mistake. As Scripture says, he never found deceit in his mouth. When people reviled and cursed him, he did not curse back. He did it perfectly. He then willingly went to a cross, was tortured and died, was buried, and then 3 days later overcame the grave. So you and I could then put on his righteousness because of our faith in him, so that we one day can then stand in front of a holy, righteous God, not because of what we've done, because of our faith in what Christ has done. That's what this season is. Do not let the world steal this joy from you and understanding what it is. It's an amazing time, and it's a reminder that we don't need religion, we need a relationship. And I think that expands. I think that expands for you and I. It's not my job to walk around and be like, oh, Tony did that wrong. Hey, Tony, let's sit down and talk. Tony, you weren't looking up. That was my fault, Tony. I'm picking on you right there. I like the glasses, Tony, by the way. Right? I walk around like, hey, Tony, you messed that up. No, it's not my job to keep score on what you do right and what you do wrong. What my job is to have a relationship, to be there for you so we can talk about this, so we can work on this. And also for me to be able to talk to you and say, hey, man, this is what I'm working on. This is the intense fellowship that's happening in my house. Let's talk about that. It's a relationship between us, right? We're not looking. We don't need any more rules. I can't speak for you all, I can speak for me. Man, there's enough rules. The world has enough rules in it. I can't even keep track of all the rules. Right? Somebody tells me this is a rule, somebody says this is a rule. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to believe. But I know what Scripture teaches me. And Scripture teaches me that if I have faith and I trust in Jesus Christ, I get to wear his righteousness. And with that righteousness, that'll then give me the ability one day to stand in front of the uncreated Creator and be seen as redeemed. To where I will then be able to spend eternity in the presence of God. How long is eternity? It's a long time, Jimmy. That's all I can say. It's a long time. And that's what we're looking for here, right? And so as we see there in verse 20, it's not about rules. It's not about the law. It's about relationships, right? And you're wondering this morning, like, well, who's this for? We can spend a little bit more time in Romans. Romans 8, 23, verse 24. We talked about this some last week. God's word says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Verse 23, it's not for some of you. It's not for the good-looking ones. Thank God for my case. It's not for the good-looking ones. It's not for the good-looking ones. It's for all. Everyone has sinned. Everyone is in need of a relationship with the Savior. Everyone needs it. Everyone sitting here this morning, everyone watching on Facebook right now, everyone needs a relationship with Christ Because the truth is this, without that relationship, it doesn't end well for you. Because every single one of us are going to die a physical death. But those among us who don't have a relationship with Christ will also die a spiritual death. However, those of us with a relationship with Christ will not die a spiritual death and will spend eternity in the presence of God. It's an amazing thing. I want to give you something else. This is Paul again speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Who's Paul talking about there? He's talking about Jesus. And so I think sometimes, and I think I struggle with this sometimes too, is we grow up, and like I said, I don't know how many nativity scenes we have in our house, but we got the little baby Jesus, right? Don't lose baby Jesus. He's the focus point of the nativity scene. And so at this time of year, we focus on the baby. And he is a baby. He was born as a baby. But the truth is, we really need to be focusing on what he does, what he becomes, as he becomes the perfect, spotless lamb, as he is then able to go to the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. That's what we're thankful for. That's what should amaze us. I go back to this other, sorry, I skipped that, Romans 8:24, and are justified by his grace as a gift. You know, Christmas is just the reality is that gifts are part of it, right? I'm sure many of you have bought gifts. I'm sure many of you have got them wrapped if you're organized. We haven't wrapped anything. Amazon's wrapped all our gifts. They're in boxes, right? No matter what gift, no matter what the coolest thing you're going to get this year, I don't know what you're going to get. I'm sure it's going to be something great. The greatest gift you've ever been given is the gift of grace. I mean, it's one of those concepts that I pray that you think about. I pray that you meditate on it. But the gift of grace should blow your mind as you think about it. Because you know you don't deserve it. And you're always like, man, this ain't much of a Christmas message. Michael, I don't feel very joyful. Can we just sing some more songs? This is the truth. You need to know this. You don't deserve God's love. What do you deserve? Eternity in hell. That's what you deserve. But because God loves you, because God wants a relationship with you, Christ was born, and he was able to accomplish all the things that Scripture said he was going to accomplish. He did all of those so that you and I can now have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what this season is all about. So much like the shepherds felt like outcasts, some of you here today may feel like, man, I just feel like my life's a wreck. Let me just go ahead and tell you something. Everyone is struggling with something. But the main thing, if you want to get your life focused, you want to start receiving more blessings, it's a relationship with Christ that starts that. That's where all this begins. As we begin to grow in the Lord, the Holy Spirit will begin to sanctify you. It will continue to conform you more into the image of Christ. You will look more like Christ. And as you continue to remain in God's will, guess what? Blessings naturally flow out of that because God was going to give them to you anyway because it was in his will. Right? This is why I say all the time the sovereignty of God is so important to understand that. Right? In Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Notice the word all there, man. It's so important for us to understand. It's not for those of us that the world may think we're doing it just right. It's not for those of us who have been sitting in this pew. Maybe you've been here since you were born. Maybe you've been a baby. You've been just coming to this church since you were a baby. I mean, none of that matters. Is what matters is the relationship you have with Christ. And so I pray we're going to have a time here in a second. We're going to have an opportunity that if you don't have a relationship, that you can come down front and you and I can talk about that. We'll get some other people together. We'll talk about that. We'll begin that process of seeing what God wants to do in your life, not through a religion, but through a relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for the truth that we see in Scripture. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful time that you've given us here this morning, just a wonderful time of worship and praise, a wonderful time in our small group studies to where People were able to get together and discuss and to be secure in their salvation, to be secure in their relationship with you. Lord, I'm thankful for this corporate time that you've given us together, that we can talk about the greatest gift that any of us has ever received, the gift of your grace, the gift of a relationship with Christ. And Lord, we're just so thankful for what that means for us. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone with us here today, anyone at home that has concerns about their relationship with Christ, that we can discuss those. We can begin that process of some conversations about that. If there's anyone with us here this morning that has no concept of what a relationship with Christ looks like, Lord, we can get that. We can get that conversation started today. Lord, I just am so thankful for what you're doing in our lives. I'm so thankful for what you have done in our life. And Lord, I'm expectantly waiting for what you're going to do in our lives. And Lord, just thank you for all of that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand and respond in song.
Thank you all again for just a wonderful time together. I'm very thankful to be here with everyone. Just a quick reminder is that today is business meeting. I would encourage you, if you are a member at Dallasburg Baptist Church, that you stay for business meeting. Because if you leave and you're like, well, man, I can't believe they did that, then that's your fault for not staying and voting on it, right? So stay here. Five of us should not be making all the financial decisions of the church, right? So I encourage you to stay. Also, to remind everyone tonight, no evening worship here at Dallasburg, 4:15, Eagle Creek Resort. We're going to do some Christmas caroling. Lucy has got us some songs. I still got to make copies of all those songs. Everyone's going to have a songbook, and it's going to be a great time of fellowship and letting some people know that a church way up here on the ridge cares about them, cares enough about them to come drive around in circles and sing songs about Jesus. And a couple of those that maybe aren't about Jesus, but we'll see about that. Maybe a Frosty in there. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Lucy, you close us in prayer. Thank you.